Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, we've got Aki, Bree, and Jacob. How is everybody doing?
Fantastic.
Hot. You're still hot?
Obviously.
I'm shirtless.
Still have no AC.
Oh. No? Oh, I thought no,
they're working on it. They're working on it, but it got, even with the portable air conditioner we have temporarily, it got up to 90 in the house today again. Oh, it was gross. 97 outside, so it's hot in here.
So take off all your clothes. I am getting so hot, I will take the clothes off.
Yeah, that happened.
Why am I here?
I get a little,
I'm
done singing Usher.
It seems like between Bree being hot, Jacob existing, I have bad news on my end. We found out this week our cat Piddles has cancer.
That sucks.
Yeah. She has a mammary tumor, just like Peach has had. And we think we caught it early enough. We have an appointment with the vet tomorrow to talk about surgery options. We don't know how we're going to afford this shit. So if anyone has ever considered buying a shirt from us, like, now's the time to do it, because we get a decent amount of money from shirts. And I'm wearing one, and it looks pretty good. And you can save... I said this on Tuesday. You can save 13% with the coupon code Gaping Butthole.
Yep.
Nice.
This isn't just an excuse to plug merch in our coupon code, but like Ashley and I are looking at like $1,200 to $1,500.
Oh
yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. It's gonna be rough, but Piddles is our baby. Like, she's our oldest. The vet said that she's still really healthy. She's in good condition. If this takes care of the issue and if it hasn't spread, she has another 5 to 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Dang.
Yeah. Like,
she's old, but she can make it a long time. But we the first step is we got to make the appointment and get her x-rayed to see if it spread, and if it spread, well, I'll take it from there. If it hasn't spread, fuck. Someone else talk.
I bought Gunpla.
Oh my god! Right. You don't say. Oh my god!
Hey, I have to bring some brevity up to this bitch.
Vertically impaired with the 76-month sub. Tony, thank you so much for coming in, hanging out. Always love to see you in chat. It means more than you know tonight. So thank you very much. Love seeing you here. Enjoy the emotes, including, I think Piddles is one of the emotes that's included in the subs. What if I show up in
chat? Does that mean anything?
No.
Oh, fuck.
No, does anything you do ever mean anything, Jacob?
I mean, I produce carbon dioxide, which plants require to create oxygen. So I think so. I like how you're skeptical of that. You're like, the science doesn't quite check out. Like, just because you produce that does not make your life worthwhile. No, not buying it.
She did the math. I mean,
I'm Asian. I always do the math. And it came out fucky.
Victor just redeemed emote only chat. Oh, man. All right. Let's switch this up.
I haven't seen that. I don't think I've ever seen anyone actually choose that option before.
Oh, it's now emote only chat. So if you're hanging out in the Twitch, the SML podcast Twitch channel, you could only talk in emotes right now. Isn't that fun?
Dang.
I guess.
I apparently have 14K in pancakes available.
Yeah. Bad we don't have anything to really do with those anymore.
I have over 100,000.
GG. You should request some songs after the show. That's what I have to do with with the pancakes
now. I know.
Oh, man. How is everyone else's week? Aki, you bought Gunpla. What kind?
Well, they had a Leo full weapons kit. It's the first time they've released it in like 4 or so years. So I got that because I like the Leo. It's cute. And they,
wait, which color?
A green. Okay. It's a standard Leo. Okay. I don't know if they sell the other sets, sadly. And they also...
They don't have the space Leo?
I don't think so. It has the space Leo parts in it, but they're also green instead of the purple that they should be.
Okay. Well, yeah, but I mean, I remember in the show a couple of times, like, the Leos did go out into space like that, so that makes sense.
Yeah, I guess. I would have preferred the purple.
Yeah.
And then they also released a combo set of the Viate and the Mercurius, which are also from Gundam Wing. And they haven't sold those in like 3 or so years. And I didn't even know those existed. So I picked those up just to complete the collection. So, yeah, I had a pretty good week. All of them only high grade, sadly. But, you know, it is nice. What it is.
Jacob, what about you?
What have I done this week? Done
something.
Good talk. On. That was a really good talk. Great conversation. Good back and forth. Nice banter. Great show.
I don't know. I mean, like, I'm trying to think. I mean, like, honestly, most of my like waking hours, if I'm not taking care of the kids, or applying for jobs, like, playing Disney Dreamlight Valley.
Oh yeah,
of course.
Another fun.
I got Mulan and Mushu. Nice. And I'm progressing along the star path pretty well. Like, I got Mulan's other outfit, and I unlocked all 4 of the animal, or the Inside Out 2 animal companions. There's Anhui, Raven, Envy, Rabbit, Anxiety Squirrel, and the little turtle is like Shyness or something like that. And instead, he just looks like an uncircumcised penis.
Speaking of Envy, everyone should be the envy of Latino Heat, who gets to use all the cool sub emotes because he just subbed for the 19th month.
Woot.
Latino Damn. Heat, thank you so much for the support. Love having you here. Enjoy the emotes, all the kitty cats, all the good stuff.
I just remembered something else that happened this week for me.
What?
I got my internet back.
Yay.
Yeah, I was with intermittent internet since Saturday, so I kept getting kicked off of every game I played. It was great fun.
Why?
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that I'm lucky my house didn't burn down, but apparently there was feedback that sent electricity down the internet cables, and it melted one of the cables going towards my house. So, you know, that was fun. It was a quick fix. It only took like 2 hours for the tech to repair it, and they got in on Tuesday, and I called them on Monday, so it was fucking amazing. And then I had to get my AC
fixed that quickly.
Hopefully. I think that's already long since passed, but hopefully. That's it for my week, because...
That's it?
No internet. No.
Anything else anyone want to talk about?
I got to eat tacos tonight. Yay!
Yay!
Yes!
Taco Bell tacos, no less.
I had some really unsatisfying chicken tenders tonight.
From where?
From Sheetz.
Oh, yeah.
They were overcooked.
I've never heard of Sheetz. What the hell is that?
It's like a local gas station.
Never trust gas station food.
No, they're really good.
Oh.
Yeah,
like, their Boom Boom sauce is pretty good.
They're just having an off night.
That's a shame.
Apparently they're getting rid of their...
They're getting rid of what?
No-bake cookies.
Whatever.
Yeah, apparently...
Cookies! How can you say whatever to cookies? Cookies are great.
Yeah, I know, but they're no bakes. Like, I'm not really a fan of them. My wife is, and so she's devastated. But apparently they're going to get replaced with something in the, like the fridge island section, like the cold island section, whatever you want to call it, like where they have like random like lunch shit, like pickles and apples and like made orders, like ready to go sandwiches and stuff like that. And so instead, apparently they're going to be pushing like these chocolate chip cookie dough bites, which I've sampled. They're pretty damn tasty. It's also all your saturated fat in one day, or for one day in like 10 little pieces of these things. So, yeah.
So what you're telling us is you're suddenly going to be really unhealthy, more so than you already are.
Okay. I was about to say, I'm already kind of unhealthy. Actually, there's no kind of, it's just,
yeah, just, I was about to say that too.
Well, actually, we have cause for celebration. Quick, Andrew just bought a shirt.
Yay! Woo!
Which one?
Yeah, celebrate. I don't know. Which one did you buy, Andrew? Is it probably, we only have like three of them up right now. Just the logo, the 10 years, and the still stupid, which is what I'm wearing now.
Wait, I thought there was like a gaping butthole shirt.
No, we had a, they forced us to switch storefronts, and we have like no design.
Boo!
Yeah, nothing carried over.
We sucks. Need a shirt that just insults Jacob.
We had,
you know, kind of like the show.
Oh, the logo one. That's a good one. In navy. Very nice.
Ooh, very stylish.
Very blue.
I ordered a purple and a blue 10 years, 10 listener shirt to see how those turned out.
Nice.
They don't send you free samples?
They don't send free samples, but you could order discounted samples. I actually just ordered them so I could test out the coupon code.
And also, theoretically, you get money back.
Yeah. I'll earn a couple bucks for buying my own shit. So,
yeah.
I mean, I could have saved money by buying it direct and getting the, like, the base price for it or whatever, but this makes it look like people actually bought my merch. I got sales.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pretend Ashley bought them. But yeah, I guess we can move on to news.
All right.
Yeah, I should load that up.
You should load that up. Do you actually have news this week?
I mean, if I can sift through all the fucking memes that I post. So yeah, you should start talking.
I should, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Be nice, wouldn't it?
I mean, I guess. I mean, it's your show. If you don't want to talk, I mean, I understand, but it's going to make for a weird podcast.
Everything makes for a weird podcast. I'm on it.
I mean, I could just play like weird sound clips.
Do it.
You should just play number stations.
What was that,
yeah, Jacob? Aki, did you see the Call of Duty Gundam
thing? Plot? Yes.
Okay.
Yes. They had a panorama and I just saw it earlier today. It looks so fucking cool. I hope they actually release those suits with that specialized armor and weapons and stuff. That'd be so awesome. They look so awesome.
They said that they're one of a kind, so.
Oh, damn it. That means they're probably never going to make them. That sucks. They look so awesome. Oh, well. Say lovey to that.
You know what you could say hello to, though?
Hello.
He's nuts.
Games joining Game Pass.
Yay!
Yes!
Yay!
There's some really kick-ass ones.
There is some good stuff coming to Game Pass. This week, we got Journey to the Savage Planet and Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl 2.
I added Journey to Savage Planet. I've heard good things about that game.
I've completed it once, and this is the Employee of the Month edition, so it's it's like the Series X and S version, and I already started replaying that because I got the free upgrade when they first came out with it, but yeah, it's a really fun game.
Nice.
Is it an easy 100%?
No, but there's some multiplayer for the 100%, but you know, hit me up.
Okay, I will start that once I finish a couple of the other ones on my list.
Yeah.
I have like 5 Game Pass games installed right now.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lot.
Yeah.
I finished my first playthrough of Immortals of Aveum. So, you know, there's that. That game's actually pretty good.
I've been playing a little gear game. Holy shit, that is adorable.
That game is really good.
Yeah.
It made me cry.
It's cozy Zelda, and I'm fucking loving it. And I've already gone off the normal path, and I don't know where the hell I'm supposed to go next, because oddly, the game doesn't have a menu option to say, hey, here's where you need to be going and stuff like that, or
that's because it's open world, baby.
Yep.
Open island.
I know, but the thing is it doesn't have a little thing that says here's all your little missions that you're currently doing.
Yeah.
Which I find really frustrating. Yeah, it does it does, because I don't know what the hell I'm actually I don't remember who the hell I'm supposed to be going back to.
Yeah,
no, oh my god.
I've find been exploring. People, talk to them.
No, shut up. That's the problem, because I've been exploring. I've been exploring too much, and now I don't know where the hell I am.
Get good.
I got lost, and I now have 19 friends, which is more than in real life.
Fair.
Yeah.
So next week, we're getting 4 more games on Game Pass.
Yay. With
Cricket 24 and The Case of the Golden Idol on July 9th.
That could be interesting.
I've heard a lot of good about Golden Idol, so that's it's cool to see that hit console.
Looks like a point and click or something.
I think it was a Netflix game for a while.
Okay. Yeah, it looks familiar, I don't know much about it.
And then July 11th, the long-awaited Neon White. And Chia.
I'm excited for that. I'll finally be able to play that.
I'm thrilled to see Chia finally coming to Xbox.
I'm so hyped for that.
And on Game Pass.
Yes.
So, and then July 16th, we've got Magical Delicacy and Flock.
I am playing Magical Delicacy for a review, so, you know.
That's all you could say about it.
Yep.
I'm excited for it. It looks cute.
Yes, it does.
Can't all be good news, though. Games have to leave Game Pass, unfortunately. And we are losing a handful with Coffee Talk Episode 2, Hibiscus and Butterfly leaving, Figment 2, Creed Valley, Sins of a Solar Empire on PC, Toem, and The Wandering Village.
Some good games in there.
That's a shame. There's a lot of good games in that list. That's a shame. Toem
is a pretty quick one to complete. That was a really good one. You can get that done in under 12 hours, probably.
Maybe I'll play that this weekend.
Yeah.
Just keep adding more work for myself. Damn it!
If you want more to play, but you're a Nintendo fan, well, Nintendo has some good news for you with a whopping 7 games joining the NES Online Collection.
Nice.
We've got Cobra Triangle, Solar Jetman, The Mystery of Atlantis, which is an import game seeing release in America for the first time.
Oh, that's cool.
Mach Rider, Golf, Donkey Kong Jr. Math, and then the big one of the week, the one everyone is talking about and everyone is excited about, Urban Champion.
Mm.
That game is so fucking bad. I literally
don't know any of those games.
Urban Champion Solar might be the worst game Nintendo ever released.
Oh, Solar my. Jetman is the first game I ever bought and then immediately returned.
Ooh. Damn. They have a lot of winners this time, I guess. Shit.
Why didn't you like Jetman?
I don't know. I don't remember. It was so long ago, but I do remember that was a whole thing because I was a kid and my mom was like, well, you've got to go to the store and return it then if you don't like it. And see if you can convince them to take it back. And I did. I convinced them to take it back and give me my money back.
Woo!
How did you convince them? What did you say?
I have no idea, but they took it back. No.
I assume you convinced them with a receipt.
Well, yeah, there was that too.
You sell this shit to children?
How dare you?
When my mom bought our NES, she bought a game called Star Voyager with it. which is like a hardcore space sim.
Oh my.
For like a 3-year-old.
That explains so much about you.
She eventually
no wonder you're so broken.
She eventually found someone she worked with to trade Star Voyager for pro wrestling. And
explains some things too. Yeah.
Yeah. My mom was big into wrestling when I was a kid. She went to a live WCW when they were still called NWA show. She had like pictures of Sting and Lex Luger, the Road Warriors. It was cool. My mom used to be cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, 7 games, NES collection, a lot of good stuff there. Some bad news, though, for Wii U owners, Nintendo is out of parts for the Wii U. Will no longer accept repair orders as of July 3rd. So if your Wii U breaks, you're fucked.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess you'll just have to go third party at that point.
Go on eBay and buy a new controller or something.
Yeah.
Like, don't they still have part. Like, don't they still have like Super Nintendo? Don't they still do like Super Nintendo repairs? How the fuck are they out? How fucking broke ass is the goddamn Wii U that they ran out of parts for that and they still have parts for the fucking Super Nintendo? What the shit?
Well, because the Super Nintendo sold a whole lot more than the Wii U did. The Wii U, they probably just cut their losses and were like, all right, we're done producing this shit.
Fair. I was going to say, like, I mean, Nintendo probably also still has, like, a shit ton of parts just sitting in warehouses from way back then.
Yeah.
As opposed to the Wii U, where they're just like, all right, we're just going to order X amount and that, like, we'll just call it the day.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Fair, I guess.
Let's see. Sony is going to be an exhibitor at the Tokyo Game Show for the first time since 2019. A lot of people think Sony has a big fall lined up. We're all awaiting news on the PS5 Pro and hopefully some games, because they don't have too many of those coming out right now. Although Astrobot looks fucking dope.
Yeah, it does.
Battlefield 3 and all DLC will be delisted July 31st.
Yep.
Well, that sucks.
So, well, it's going offline later this year, so.
That sucks, too.
There's 2 other Battlefield games that are getting delisted as well, but they're Xbox 360 games. And technically, everything on the 360 is getting delisted at the end of this month. So, yeah, that's kind of redundant.
Hop to it.
I really hope the final sale has a lot of good stuff on it.
Honestly, all I'm really asking for from the final sale is, like, the Fist of the North Star games to be knocked down in price. Like,
be amazing.
Please, baby Jesus. I don't ask for much. I just want the 2 Fist of the North Star games to be knocked down to respectable prices. I'll even still pay, like, $20 each for them. Like,
I mean, the first one's only $30. That's not horrible.
It's not horrible, but my wallet disagrees. Yeah. So
the second one being $60 is insane until you realize physical copies are going for $200.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's becoming like the thing for the priority people. Of this. Like any disc games, like you really need to evaluate what it's going for right now, because like there's a Spyro game on there too that apparently it goes for like $40 to $80, and Singularity is apparently not cheap either. So
that game, that's a good game.
Yeah, I remember playing it when it first came out, and I liked it, and then other shit came out and I just never finished it.
Oh, you should. It's a fantastic game.
Well, it's not backwards compatible, so
that might be a bit.
Oh, it's hooked up. I just now need to also figure out hard drive space for that shit, because I've filled up 120 gigs, and I think I only have, like, another 20 gig hard drive, so I'm going to have to figure out some external shit.
Well, come visit. I have a 256 gig flash drive that I was using until I needed more space, so I just plugged in a 1 terabyte hard drive, and now I have a flash drive I'm not doing anything
with. 1 terabyte.
Jesus Christ. How much space is on that thing?
256.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to be talking to my wife. They're like, all right, got to go visit Joe. Bye.
Do it during the show.
Yeah.
I'll just live
pull a Pernell. Be on Discord on your phone.
Yeah, I'll just pull a Pernell and just like it's now end up it'll just end up being like a 4-hour show as I drive up to Joe's house.
Let's do this.
Oh fuck, he's here. Run! Run!
As I go through the mountains, like I just keep dropping out all the time. It'll be great.
Oh, let's see. Some more news. 24 Entertainment announced that Naraka: Bladepoint will be deactivated on Xbox One August 28th. The game will be unplayable on the Xbox One, but still fully functional on Series X and S and Xbox on PC, and your Xbox progress will remain as long as you stay on the same platform. They're giving out a transfer bonus pack as well with some in-game goodies. But if you're still on Xbox One, you will no longer be able to play Naraka: Bladepoint as of the end of August.
Now, is there like a different like achievement thing for it or no?
Nope.
Okay.
Same thing. Just crosses over. Some more sad news. Tales of Kinzera Zao developer Surgent Studios has laid off over a dozen people.
Ooh. Yikes.
Yeah. Game's only out 3 months.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
That game looks good.
I know a game you're excited about, Aki.
Oh?
Star Wars Outlaws has gone gold ahead of its August 30th release date.
Hell yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, you two are going to have to fight for that one.
Okay. Is it bad how quickly I immediately went like, sure?
I wasn't even aware I'd have to say anything about whether I'd want to stab Aki. Like, I just figured you all assumed that you knew. So, oh, I get a game out of it too? Great. Bonus.
Win-win. Dragon Ball Z Kakarot has sold over 8 million copies.
Good for them. Dragon Ball fans will always buy Dragon Ball games no matter what. So
that's good. That game wasn't bad.
Solid open world action adventure kind of.
And I'm not going to lie. That's pretty cool that like it's had this kind of longevity.
Is that on Xbox?
Yes.
Yeah. I reviewed it on Xbox years ago.
I might have to pick that up since it's an open world game. I was expecting it to be a fighting game and I was like, whatever. No,
it's totally dope. I mean, like, there is fighting game aspects to it, but, like, it's really just, like, an open-world action RPG. Like, it's totally dope.
Okay, I'm gonna go add that to my list right now.
I would wait for a sale. It's still $60 new, although they have a Legendary Edition with all the DLC for $120.
It goes on sale a few times a year, so, yeah, just wait.
Wish list it and keep an eye on it.
Yep. And there we go. It is being added to my wish list right now. Matter of fact, which one should I put to my wish list? The Legendary, Deluxe, or Standard Edition?
I would put Standard and Legendary.
Okay.
That way you could keep an eye on both of them.
Added Legendary, and now adding Standard.
If Standard goes on sale cheap enough, you could always get that and then like get the season pass when that goes on sale.
True.
If the Legendary, you know, sometimes they do sales where only the Legendary Edition is on sale.
I like those because they are usually really good sales and then I get to pick up the better editions.
Like last week, Payday 2, the Gold Edition was half off to $45, or you could buy the season pass for $50.
I love when they do stupid shit like that.
Yeah, so you might as well get the season pass and the game. Yeah. Speaking of sales, this week, if you hear this in time and you are a pinball fan, fire up Pinball FX on your Xbox and buy some tables. There is a massive Pinball FX sale going on Xbox right now with tables up to like 65% off. I bought a $30 pack of like 12 tables for $10.
Have you told the rest of Ball Squad?
Oh, I have told Ball Squad. I have posted on the Facebook. I've shared on Twitter. I am trying to get the word out on this one because I completed my collection. I now have every table in Pinball FX.
Nice. Congrats.
It makes me vaguely sad because I'm not going to go after this sale. Like, I'd like to, but I'm focusing so much on the backwards compatibility thing that, like, until July, what is it, 29th, that the Xbox 360 marketplace goes down.
Yeah.
That's where all my funds are being focused.
That's fair.
Fair.
Last bit of news I have. Dead Rising Deluxe Remaster has a September 19th release date.
And it also has a digital deluxe... oh, God, what the hell do they call it? It was like a digital deluxe limited...
Whatever happened to just naming shit easily?
They ended up calling it... like they ended up using digital twice in its own damn title.
And,
yeah. It ends up being like this ridiculously long name.
I mean, but it already had a ridiculously long name without adding any other type of addition to it.
Yeah. Maybe it's like Digital Edition Deluxe Edition.
It's Dead Rising Deluxe Remaster Digital Deluxe.
I fucking hate that.
Deluxe twice.
Yeah.
It comes with a shitload of costumes and music.
So it's not worth it. Okay.
We'll wait for a sale. Duh.
Only 10 bucks more. It's not that bad. I'm going to actually do that. Throw that on my wish list.
Of course you will.
But yeah, that's the news I have. Aki, any news on your end?
Nope. The only thing I had was the what was coming to Game Pass.
Bree, what about you? What kind of news do you have?
I have, movie and show news this week. Trailer has been released for A Quiet Place, The Road Ahead, a horror game coming to PlayStation 5, Xbox Series, and Steam. So, game and show related, or game and movie related.
Okay, have they released any information about it?
Just that it's coming out soon, and go watch the trailer, it was pretty cool.
And it's a horror game.
It's a horror game.
I'm just
not a romance simulator.
I don't care. I'm just more worried, is it going to end up being one of those 4v1 type games where
you're
playing as the quiet
fit? This looks like a narrative experience where you're, you know, fighting through hordes of creatures and trying to survive, you know, that sort of game. Not
good.
That could be like interesting then.
An asymmetrical horror game.
Trash rando romance is a horror simulator.
It can be.
The other show game related news is that there was a Netflix Horizon Zero Dawn show that was in the works. It's apparently being canceled.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Sucks.
But that's all the news I had.
All right, Jacob, your turn. What do you got?
Continuing on TV movie news, comic actor Martin Mull, who's mostly known for movies like Sabrina and the show's the movie Clue and the show's Sabrina the Teenage Witch and Arrested Development, he died at the age of 80. He was also the voice actor for Vlad on the show Danny Phantom, and he provided his voice for various Nickelodeon games. Including Nickelodeon All-Stars Brawl 2, which a number of players have commented. They were like, oh, that's why he sounded vaguely different in that one. That game just released last year. So, Pokemon Go is refusing to let longtime players in its birthday party this year. There was some sort of event that happened like 4 years previous for a shiny Pokemon, which they're now going to offer again. And if you got it back at that event, you're not allowed to enter this one for whatever reason. Because apparently, for once, they don't want your money. Mega Man X Dive Mobile is ending. They're shutting the game servers down on 7/30. So July 30th is the last time you can play it on iOS or Android. However, there is like a complete offline version that you can play, which I believe you can get through Steam.
Yeah.
And I think also maybe iOS, I forget. Or people have asked for it, one of the two. But either way, you can still play the game. It's just you're not going to be able to play it online with other people. Oh, yeah. Resident Evil 9 seemingly has been announced.
Yes.
Which I was surprised that that news got missed.
I don't think they really provided any information. They just said,
we're working on happening. It. Yeah.
Yeah, which...
And, like, everyone already knew that.
Yeah, I mean, nobody was really surprised, but at the same time, like, ooh.
That's like the Mortal Kombat people saying, we're going to make another Mortal Kombat game. No shit.
Yeah. Surgeon Studios, the makers of Tales of Kenzera Zao, they're laying off a dozen people.
Already covered that.
Oh, you did? I didn't hear you say that.
Yep, I said it.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Jesus.
Nintendo 3DS's Street Pass Puzzle Swap has finally been beaten after 13 years.
I saw that. That is really interesting. No clue about that.
I don't understand.
A group tracked down like the last like puzzle that was needed. There was some. It's a puzzle of like a Boeing 787. And I guess they finally managed to get it. So all the puzzles have now the game has now been theoretically 100% completed.
Hmm.
Bree covered that one. So the only other news that I have is Starfield modders are now planning to add in the entire Elder Scrolls series onto one of the planets. So.
Nice.
You'll be able to run around Skyrim and Morrowind in Starfield.
Until it's almost done, and then Bethesda's like, yeah, no, scrap this, which is what they've done with everything else.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. But that's all the news I have. No Sonic the Hedgehog news. Very sad.
I was really intrigued about that Street Pass news. Aki, you were asking what it was. Street Pass was a feature on the 3DS where you would leave your system on and closed, and it would go into a standby mode and send out a wireless signal. And if you passed someone else who had their 3DS, you would like link up and meet each other, and you could like swap puzzle pieces and play video games with them and their characters. They sold DLC packs with more games, but the picture, the puzzle swap is the big thing, because there would be anywhere from like 20 to like 64 pieces of a puzzle you would have to get, and you would only get them one at a time, and you can only get stuff that the other people had. So if they didn't have any pieces you were missing, tough. Keep meeting people. So it's really cool that it's been quote unquote beaten after all these years, and they finally found all the pictures.
Huh.
Apparently that's this pretty one was awesome. Tied to some Japanese airline, like ANA DS.
Oh. Interesting.
ANA okay. Airlines, ANA. Yeah, the picture was of a 787.
Okay, that's kind of awesome. All right. Yeah. That must have been fucking infuriating to go and get all those fucking pieces, but very interesting concept. I don't think that was a good follow through, but very interesting concept.
It was really well done, actually. I'm honestly shocked the Switch never did it. I thought the Street Pass was one of the coolest things Nintendo did. They just went nowhere with it. But anyway, should we get to reviews? We got a handful of games to talk about tonight.
Yeah,
sure.
All right, let's dive into these. The first game to talk about is our final look at the Elder Scrolls Online Gold Road, developed by ZeniMax Online Studios, published by Bethesda Softworks, released June 18th as DLC for the Elder Scrolls Online for $39.99. Elder Scrolls Online base game is available for $19.99 and is required for any and all DLC. A Gold Road collection is available for $59.99 and includes all the expansions, and then there's a deluxe edition with extra bonuses and blah, blah, blah. Forgotten Daedric Prince has returned, bringing chaos to the West Weald. Explore a new zone and defend the city of Skingrad. First encountered at Oblivion, now beset by a dangerous Daedric cult in the jungles of Valenwood. Customize your skills like never before with the new scribing system and create your one-of-a-kind playstyle. Bree, you talked about this the past 2 weeks. What else is there to say about this? Fill us in.
Well, first, I have some ESO news. Because this is their 10-year anniversary, they have some Game Pass perks right now. If you're on Game Pass and you're playing Elder Scrolls, you can get some experience scrolls and respec scrolls. You just have to claim before the end of the month. Cool. That's a nice perk. Also, if you log in to Elder Scrolls Online 2 times this month, just a minimum of 2 times, you can get the Clockwork City DLC for free.
Nice.
So go check that out if you think you might play in the future. But yeah, so I figured I'd start with a quick recap of what we've already talked about. So Gold Road comes with new story quests and content. The threads of reality are unraveling, and Daedric incursions are causing havoc. An ancient presence has been released, and we must, as the Chosen of Fate, help Hermaeus Mora save reality before it's too late. We get a new zone, Westweald, the Imperial region in Oblivion. The zone has several biomes, the autumnal colloquial highlands, Valenwood, the newly erupted Dawnwood Forest, and the Wildburn encroaching on the beautiful landscapes and threatening the land. We've got daily quests. You've got a Miramor Mosaic incursion event. You've got bosses and dungeon delves. Even at a fairly low level, I was able to do the delves and the Miramor boss. The bosses are meant for multiple people. There were some NPCs standing by to help out, but eventually enough people came by and I got in on the fight and got credit for the boss. It was really exciting and fun. There are 2 public dungeons, Sylorn and Leftwheel. Let's see, the new system scribing. It's spell crafting that allows you to customize your playstyle with skill modifiers. You can earn grimoires, scripts, and inks needed to do your scribing by doing daily repeatable quests like the bosses and dungeon delves. You just need to have a level 30 character to get started on scribing. And when your scribing quests progress, it's specific to each of your characters, but your upgrades you receive are available to all your characters on your account. So there's only so much grinding you have to do on that if you want to customize, but you're going to want to do some of the customization with each character anyway. The game still has a very active population. I was able to find people wandering around areas old and new, doing similar quests, whether they were new to the game content or just leveling a new character. And since the game scales to your level, you can really do the stories in whatever order you want. But there are some reasons to do some of the quests in order for the most recent DLC. I'll get to that in a minute. This is a game you can play the story solo and still have a great time. It's like playing a bigger, nearly endless version of an Elder Scrolls game. And because there are other people wandering around, you can get a little help from time to time for free. Until you want to do the raids, you don't need to worry about finding a group. Which is,
that's good
to me, nice. Yeah. There are plenty of people to group up with when you're ready to tackle zone bosses and raids. Like I said, when I went to go do the zone boss, like, I just had to wait one cycle and there was like 15 people there. It was great. And that was at like 10 o'clock at night. So yeah, I'm excited to keep playing this and find a guild soon. But yeah, I chose
start
to focus
your own.
On the main
How hard
story.
Is it to start a guild?
I have no idea. I've never tried, but I could. We could start a guild. Everybody,
start the SML
everybody,
guild.
Well, we will. Yeah, let's do it.
Someone might level.
But yeah, I chose to focus on the main story as much as possible because that was really what hooked me with this. The writing is good. The lore runs deep. The voice acting for the main NPCs was well done. I love that the NPCs in town kind of just had gossip as you walk by that updates based on the they update their conversations based on the progress that you have in the zone story. So like after you kill a certain character, they're like, oh my gosh, did you hear that so-and-so was really the villain behind such and such? And earlier they were saying like, oh my gosh, can you believe that you know, these woods just sprouted out of nowhere? And, you know, so they change all that based on your progression in the story, which I thought is really cool.
That is cool.
So let's talk more about the story. The Recollection and the Miramor Daedra seek to restore Aethelia to power. They caused the new forest and the Wildburn devastation, and Aethelia is wandering Westweald, starting to remember things. She'd had amnesia before. If things go wrong, we're talking about the threads of fate unraveling and reality as we know it breaking. You get to see some of the threads unraveling actually physically, and it's really cool. Like echoes of people show up in a tavern as the Prince of Paths loses control, and there are literal cracks in the sky wherever she dwells. Aethelia deals in many paths, probability and the idea of possibilities that overlap outcomes. It's like alternate realities appearing and collapsing. And it's kind of almost like a sci-fi concept, you know, like you've got the ability to see all the potential outcomes ahead of you. And that's what the Prince of Path deals with. And, you know, you could if you know all of these things, you could choose these different realities that are all overlapping. So that's a really powerful thing to have access to. And Hermaeus Mora, the Daedric Prince of Knowledge, basically said, this is a bad thing. And with the help of the other Daedric Princes, imprisoned her in like all of these different realities and then unwrote her existence. So let's see, tracking down one of the main zone's enemies, the Recollection, through the Wildburn seeds, we find ourselves in the town of Bashabar, dealing with the Wood Elves. With everything going on with the Dawnwood, the forest intrusion, the people of Skingrad have become suspicious of the Wood Elves, but Baragon is one Wood Elf that is doing good things to help solve the situation. Likewise, the Wood Elves are on edge that a Kolovian soldier, Tribune Alea, is throwing around accusations. Tensions are high. Like, the people are all very concerned that this stuff is going on. The population of Westweald, very few know what's really going on, so it's up to us to help ease tensions as some of the side quests. We find out the Wildburn seeds are seeds used by green speakers to grow and shape the forest. They've been corrupted by the Daedric magics. And now we have to find out who is to blame for spreading the seeds and causing all the destruction. The second quest really delves into the Greenspeaker lore and the Wood Elf lore, and I love it. I ended up making a Wood Elf as my second character. I also started a third character because of Necrom. I'm going to do an Arcanist and get an achievement. It's going to be great.
Nice.
And I got to climb up a giant tree town that has pieces of ruins that were once in the ground and its branches. It was just a really cool landscape to be in. We get a cool artifact called an Echoneer that allows us to see visions of the past memories where there are powerful emotional essences left behind, and this becomes one of the key tools in uncovering the story. And the Athelia story was compelling and layered, and I can't begin to express, like, it resonated with me on so many levels of storytelling, the idea of multiple realities in that sci-fi sense, the magic of fates, the whole hidden Daedric prince that's being suppressed by the others. Like, she may in fact be more powerful than any other single Daedric prince in the history of Daedric princes. On the third quest, there was a glitch. If you are playing this, it might have been patched in the most recent update, but I ran into a glitch with the relics of the three princes, where you just have to abandon the quest, teleport in and out, and then pick it back up. It's a known issue that I think is an easy workaround, and I didn't even need to redo the whole quest, just the tiny part of it where I left off. It was just an NPC wasn't where they were supposed to be. So sometimes that stuff can apparently be fixed by just, like, logging out of the game and logging back in. But that was the only, like, real bad thing I ran into, and it was an easy fix. As we're uncovering the story across the zone, we're also picking up these really cool relics made by other Daedric princes to take Athelia down. We have Abolisher, the Blade of Boethia, Lamp of Clarity made by Azura, and Skein of Secrets made by Mephala, Prince of Secrets. And we end up having to help Athelia to stop her in the end. And using the artifacts, I'm sorry, I've got lots of fireworks going on in the background. Hopefully that's not too loud for you guys.
I'm laughing because I could hear them, and I'm like, oh, okay. Man, your neighbors must be having a blast.
Oh, we get to use the artifacts.
Hey, it's the 4th of July. Fuck it, right?
I know, right? But yeah, we get to use these artifacts a lot as part of the plot, which was really cool. We use the sword to open portals and close ones that have enemies coming through as like a combat effect. So it was like a combat gimmick that you do in some of the dungeons and stuff like that. It was very cool. And the lamp reveals hidden things like paths of realities. It was just really cool mechanics all around. And the story had a great arc of mystery and betrayal and loss and recovery. And I really cared about the characters. So, and I like how the writing of the quest conversations help remind you what you were doing, since you can mostly stop and log out at any time. Example is the NPC you're supposed to be meeting up with, after doing a whole bunch of hooks, asks you to tell her what happened. And that serves as a reminder of the things that I had done, which was a really helpful tool in the writing. We also get to visit some cool locations. Mirrormoor, which is the land of Athelia, the place where the cool mirror creatures come from, and the sky looks like cracked glass. It's really cool. We go to Fargrave, a demiplane without a prince that serves as a crossroad through Oblivion. There's 1,000 doors that lead in and out of Fargrave, or so it is said. Last week, I also mentioned the Necrom story. In order to get the full story and achievement for Gold Road, you do need to do the Necrom story. So I went back and I did that too. The story also starts with Laramil the Wise and the fates of Hermaeus Mora. And we get to go to Apocrypha, his realm, and we sign a pact with this Daedric Prince to become the Chosen of Fate. One of the first quests, we team up with a tentacle eye named Scroot, tentacled eye, a watchling called Scroot, who is, he asks, I love this line, if mortals are so typically broken and on fire. We first hear about Torvazard, the scion of Athelia, and I started to see how the groundwork for Gold Road was paved in Necrom, like right at the beginning of Necrom. And, of course, the landscape there is filled with mushrooms, and Apocrypha is architecturally made out of books. And it's a dark and glorious place. I could chill and read a book with a cup of tea. I really like Necrom as a visual look for the whole DLC. It also had fun and challenging story bosses, but it does end on a cliffhanger for Gold Road. So definitely, if you want the full story, you have to check that out, because the epilogue stories in Gold Road don't happen unless you have done the Necrom, because the characters return. So the writing and voice acting for Scroot were particularly fun, so it was nice at the beginning of the epilogue to complete Gold Road to see them back, and that quickly makes sense. We get the whole gang from Necrom back together to try to save reality again. Athelia is still out causing havoc, and we get to go in the epilogue to this really epic battle. I'm kind of glad that the end story was Necrom locked, because it really wouldn't have made as much sense without it. And the final battle, like I said, is really epic. I felt like a hero, and unlike with Necrom, it feels like there's a bit of a resolution to the story, which was good in Gold Road. I think with any game for a game like this, you're going to have some things open-ended, though. Which there was some little wiggle room at the end for some potential like connection to the next DLC. Speaking of epic battles,
we'll get more, right?
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, they're not going to stop at 10 years. When you get your build right and your skills line up and everything works right, you feel like a badass even at low levels, and that was really great. That's something you totally want to see, and I started to like play with those skills as I was working through all these stories. And I had these moments where I was just like, yes, like, just really got that, like, fight down, got my skills where I wanted them, and pressing the buttons in certain orders, it just worked. So I finally kind of worked out the kinks with my character, and I'm really enjoying that. But, I've had a great few weeks mainlining ESO story, and I'm eager to get caught up on 10 years of content, which I can do thanks to Bethesda sending us the Deluxe Collection.
Very cool.
Yeah. So, final verdict. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk pricing on this. First off, let's start with the base game. Elder Scrolls as a whole, it's $20 or it's available on Game Pass. What should people do here? Should people try the game?
Try the game on Game Pass if you have access to it. There's deals from time to time as well. I think I got a disc for $10 at some point that gets you started, and that's how I had started playing the game. So, you know, there's inexpensive ways to get the base game and get started and try it out. And the beginning story is really great, too, in Cold Harbor. So I went back and redid some of that with my new character as well during this time period. And, it's a great opening story.
Cool. For the people who've been invested for 10 years now, the new expansion's $40. What do you think of that?
I mean, you're getting easily 30 hours worth of content. I think that's a great price for the upgrade. If you're hardcore into this, you're going to get your money's worth for it. If you're a little behind, though, and you've only got a couple of the DLC, or you just like are really excited about the new content, you want to get Morrowind, you want to get Necrom, you want to get Gold Road. The collection is a really, really good deal, and it gives you everything from start to finish.
They have the Gold Road collection, which includes all the expansions, for $59.99. If you're a Game Pass member, it's $47.99.
That is such a good price.
If you were going to buy Gold Road for $40, you could just get Gold Road and all the other expansions for $8 more.
It's 10 years worth of content for like one game's worth of price. And it's so much good stuff. And again, if you're behind a couple of DLC, you've played ESO before, I highly recommend the collection, just because there's also apparently some seeds of the story in Morrowind as well. So you're talking about three DLC right there that link to each other in story content, and it's really good. It's really cool. So yeah.
All right. Well, Elder Scrolls Online as a whole, give us your verdict.
It's a buy it for me.
Cool. Any other thoughts?
Come join me. Let's play some.
Sounds good. All right, next game to talk about, Soko Mage, developed and published by Aphil Games, released June 27th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and PC for $4.99. Soko Mage is a new top-down puzzle that will push your brain to the limit, slap rocks, avoid bushes, and hit the crystal to reach the end. Can you smash your way to the final level? Bree and Jacob, both of you played this. Jacob, how about you start off, since Bree just talked a whole bunch?
Okay, yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
I can go if you want.
Keep you on your toes.
Yeah, I mean, if he wants you, Bree, that would be cool.
All right. So yeah, you're a mage, and you can destroy objects like bushes with your wand. You have to push the ice blocks into holes and get to the crystal at the end of the path. It's Sokoban meets magic. It was more challenging than I was expecting.
Oh my god.
For a good amount of time on stream where everyone could see on level 4, because one bush didn't register as something I could remove to put the ice puck where I wanted. And after I got through that mental challenge, I was able to get through another few levels, just realizing what I needed to do. Thankfully, there's an undo button that removes all your steps all the way back to the beginning of the level. So if you make a mistake, you can just undo. It's not like just one undo and then you have to restart, but there is a restart button, which was really good. Once the levels progress, you get multi-screen levels. So you might have like a left screen that's split into a top and bottom. And then the only way to get the puck down through the second screen is on the right. And then once you're on the right screen, you might have to fill some holes and shuffle pucks to the right screen to the bottom left to get to the crystal. That's confusing, but yeah, there's multi-screen levels.
Sounds scary as hell.
I got past level 10, there's a new mechanic.
Oh god.
Where you get throw the ice blocks onto little X's that hold the ice in place, and then where it lands, you can try and you can avoid the holes using the X, so you can finally get like your one puck into the correct hole to get to the crystal. Past level 15, you get arrows that slide the puck in the direction it's pointing, adding another layer to the puzzle.
Oh no.
And there are 30 levels, but the achievement list only asks you to do 17 of them for the full completion, including a title update. And the game also has off-numbered achievements like 62s.
Yay! I love it.
But yeah, as far as Sokoban games go, this was challenging because you have to create your own path more than just figure out a path based on what's there. So that was mentally challenging.
This game was friggin' hard. And you know it's hard because I'm looking at the store page for it, and the screens for the game only show levels 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yep.
Because I'm guessing that's all they could beat.
Yeah. So I had to use some wizardry called the internet to get through some of the levels so that I could do a good review.
I'm not going to lie. I did not make it particularly far in this game. This is a, like, because I like when I fired it up, it was like, oh, wait, I recognize these devs. I played that, a Primal Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's also by them. And I was just like, oh, okay, great. Like, I can take care of this. And yeah, no, like I think it was level 3. It was just like, oh no, what have I gotten myself into? And I just, yeah, like I had to consult the internet for this crap. And I haven't even made it as far as Bree in this game. This is a game you need to be playing sober. This is not going to be like an easy, fun, like, yay, puzzle game. This is like, oh no, what have I done?
Yeah, I spent like 3 hours getting through the game. And then was just the level 17. And like I said, I used some help from the internet just so that I could try and see as much as possible of the game.
Yeah, this is definitely a doozy. I mean, like, it's not bad. It's just, you're gonna, if you were expecting like a little crappy $5 puzzle game, you are sorely mistaken.
Yeah, this has got a good amount of challenge to it. And if you're up for that challenge, though, this might be for you.
Well, it's $5. What do the two of you think?
I mean, to me, it was more tedious than fun.
Yeah. If you're a hardcore puzzle person, then this is definitely something you should check out.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for like a little relaxing, like, oh, I can solve each level in maybe like 5, maybe 10 minutes, this is not your game.
I'd say like I'm putting it at a try it. That's about the best I can do there.
Yeah, it's a hesitant try it for me just because of the difficulty.
Yeah.
It gets too difficult, quick.
It ramps it up too damn quick. No. Mm-hmm. Although on the plus side, like the levels where I did succeed on my own,
good.
You do feel accomplished. Yeah, you feel like, yeah, I can figure out shit. I know how to solve problems. And the rest of the time you just feel like complete dumbass. So
I knew there was a reason I rejected this game.
Damn Iwaki.
Anyway, you're welcome. Next up, Wild Seas, developed by Dudiki Studio and Aphil Games, published by Aphil Games, released June 27th on Xbox One, Series X and S for $4.99, Windows 10 for $4.99. Defend the Jewel of Evil Pirates. Wild Seas is a tower defense game with roguelike elements where your positioning can ensure victory. Bree and Aki, both of you played this. Who wants to start?
Ken. I've got some notes written too, so if you want to go for it.
All right. In this, you play as a derpy ass looking dinosaur thing
with no arms, just hands.
Yeah, basically. And you have a big fuck off sized club. And this is basically a kind of a tower defense game, realistically speaking.
Yeah.
You go around, you smash up the boxes and open some, or smash crates and open chests at the very beginning to get yourself some money so you can buy a couple, hopefully, turrets that you can set up, because you can beat this game without turrets. You can't even beat the first level without turrets, so you can keep that in mind, people. You can beat up the enemies that show up on screen, but they will kill the shit out of you if you do not have turrets. And there are six or eight different turrets. And the game doesn't tell you what any of them fucking do. I only know what three of them do. The other three I have had in every one of my runs. I don't know what any of the three of them fucking do. There's one that just does a constant scatter shot, which is the cheapest one. It just shoots in every direction rapidly. There's one that's significantly more expensive that fires specifically at enemies, which is the most useful one. Get those. And then there's a healing one, which you want a couple of as well. And then there's three other ones, and I don't know if they attack enemies. I don't know if they're buffing other things. I don't know what they fucking do. Because the game doesn't tell you what any of these do. Yeah, they don't give you names for any of this shit. It's just, here's the price, buy it, set it. Okay, what's it do? Good luck. Each level is on a different island, and you have to survive different amount of waves. And there's a lot of really painful enemies in here. They all have guns, and they don't like you. You are defending a big fuck-off-sized crystal because that's why, just because. there's not really a story here. I don't know what the crystal, what's important about the crystal, because you don't take it with you when you leave. So I don't know. But the first, realistically, the only level you have to beat is the very first one.
There's been an update.
Oh, God,
and now you
no.
have to beat the second one.
Motherfucker. I hate my life. I hate it.
This game also has off-numbered achievements like 58s.
Yay.
It pissed me. Fuck you, Joe.
I love crazy numbered achievements. I love them because they piss people off so much.
I'm more pissed off that there's a title update because the second island's a fucking hellhole. I don't even know how many islands there are, but
I think there's four.
Oh, and that's like four too many. This game is actually surprisingly hard because you take a lot of damage very quickly. So realistically, you need to get the turret set up in optimal places immediately. And then you need to get the far the fuck away from anywhere enemies spawn and don't get yourself shot to shit. Which is easier said than done, because enemies drop money, which will eventually poof to you, thankfully, so that's nice. However, they also drop chests. The problem with this is sometimes those chests, you open them and they give you exactly fuck all, which pisses me off. And sometimes they give you a wrench, which allows you to upgrade one of your turrets.
Yes.
Each turret gets upgraded twice, and you can tell which ones you have upgraded versus which ones you don't, because once you upgrade them, they grow. And they get real big when they're on the last upgrade, like twice the size at least. Just get the $200 turret, because it's the only one worth having that's an actual turret, and get the healing thing, because you're going to fucking need it. That's it. That's all I got.
It took me several times to eventually beat the first boss. I
beat him on the first try that I got to them.
Oh, yeah. It took me like three tries. So it's a little more challenging than I thought it would be for being kind of cute and casual, like that it seemed in the beginning.
It is not casual.
Yeah.
It's not.
Well, it's $5. What do the two you think?
I'd put it a try it.
I think it's a good solid try it. It's not the best game out there, but it's not terrible either. Hey, good luck with the title update, though, because I already abhor the concept of having to go fucking do that. I'm not happy with that.
You'll be okay, Aki. You'll do it. I know you can.
There's one set of achievements that really suck in the game.
The deflection?
Yes. You can deflect the bullets that enemies shoot at you by hitting them before they hit you. Your ability to hit things is fucking garbage.
Yeah.
Your ability to aim where you're hitting is also fucking garbage.
And I don't think it's just deflecting the bullets to get credit for the 100. I think you actually have to deflect them and hit something back.
You don't. It's just deflecting them.
Oh, well then, the achievement's broken for me. Oh, if that's the case. Because I've definitely deflected more than 100 items at this point.
Are you sure?
I got the 50 really quick, and I cannot get the 100.
Dude, it took me forever just to get... I think because there's an achievement for doing, I think, 10 and then 50 and then 100. Yeah. It took me forever to get just the first 10. It is.
Oh, yeah. I got to the 50 doable. Pretty fast, but the 100 is just not coming. And I've sat there for like several rounds and just done nothing but that. So, yeah.
Well, pro tip for you. Wait until later waves, because when the enemies shoot three bullets, just be close to them and you can hit all three of them. Yeah, and that counts as three.
Yeah.
Fucking hate doing that shit, but
yeah, that's one of the only achievements I have left. I have the 100 and then to do the new second level completion now. That's all I have left.
How much more gamer score do we get for beating the other level?
It's 1,000 total for the update, so you get like 100, I think, or 200 or something for getting the level done.
Okay.
All right. Well, Bree, that is it for you. Sailing tonight?
Yeah, that's the plan. I think we're going to set off some fireworks in the game, you know, where it doesn't bother other people because they have fireworks. The cats. Yeah, or scare the animals. Let's not do that. Seems like it's after 10 at my house. People have stopped making explosions happen. Let's hope it stays that way. But yeah.
I would love it if they would fucking quit here. I am so on the edge of having panic attack. I fucking hate fireworks.
Yeah, the first one that went off, I had already forgotten it was the 4th, and I was just like, gunshot? No. Oh, right. 4th of July.
Yeah. Some good news, though. Hazy JT just came in and subbed. Thank you so much, Hazy. Always good to see you in here. The alert didn't go off. I don't know why, but I see that you did it, and you have the emotes. So, thank you, and enjoy the kitty cats. Bree, any final words before we let you get going tonight?
If you hear weird noises in the night, try making weirder noises to assert dominance.
Very good.
That sounds filthy. I approve.
You guys have a great night. I'll see you later. Soon. You too.
Bye.
Next game, Cats Baseball, developed and published by Imagineer, released June 27th on the Switch for $7.99. A baseball game where the outcome is decided by dice. Even if you don't know the rules of baseball, anyone can enjoy it easily. Jacob, is it easy? Because I know you're bad at games.
So, I mean, yeah. I mean, it is
to be easy. Fair, Jacob's bad at everything.
He is.
So, I'm just going to ignore you fucks. Anyway, So if you're not familiar with the rules of baseball, it does kind of simplify things. So what it is that you have two opposing sides. One's pitching, one's batting. In each inning, you have to roll these die. You have to select what you like. If you're pitching, you have to decide what you're going to throw, like what kind of pitch you're going to throw. If you're batting, you have to decide what kind of pitch you think the pitcher is going to throw. And depending on whether or not you matched or not, one player is going to get more of an advantage than the other one. And then the die is tossed and it decides whether or not, you know, you hit the ball, whether you got a home run, whether you struck out, ground out, all that kind of stuff. And then after three outs, you switch sides and the game keeps going. Thankfully, the games are relatively short, about three innings each. And it does throw in a story mode, which is set in this weird, like, post-apocalyptic city that's split into five different areas. And you play as this, like, cat boy who... like you're trying to make the world a better place or what's left of your city, a better place. And for some reason, each of the quote unquote kings of the areas, the fate is decided by baseball because why the hell not? I mean, if it's, you know, Mad Max stuff going on, I mean, obviously baseball should be the thing that's deciding it. Yeah, it's like the story, the animation is essentially just what you'd expect from a visual novel. Like, it's nothing amazing. The characters, you might consider them to be cute. I thought it was kind of weird, but I also thought the whole plot for it was kind of weird. I guess it's really just to get people who aren't into baseball, like, potentially, like, into it, but I digress. Anyway, so the gameplay.
There's the sound effect for Hazy. Thank you, Hazy.
So the gameplay itself, the game does take time to have a tutorial for you to run through, thankfully. It does spell everything out pretty well. And as somebody who does regularly play like MLB The Show, I'm not going to lie, like, I found the concept vaguely interesting, but it felt like something I'd rather be playing with, you know, a few people like sitting around a table, not on my Nintendo Switch. Like if I'm going to play a baseball game on a console, I'm going to be playing MLB The Show.
Yeah, true.
And it's just like, like there is some strategy to it. Cause I mean, obviously you're trying to like fake out your opponent and get them to strike out. Meanwhile, like, or you're trying to be able to score runs and stuff like that. It wasn't terrible. I mean, I honestly thought I was going to lose to some of the bosses, but yeah, I still managed to pull it off anyway. So it's not exactly the most difficult game, as long as you have a fundamental understanding of baseball and how it works.
Yeah.
But if you are completely against sports games, or like you just look at MLB The Show and you're like, no, like, but you but you might be into something like this. Honestly, I thought it was worth, like, I think it's worth a try in that regard. But if like you're a big sports fanatic, I don't know that, you know, sports bros are really going to find much to like here. I think this is more so aimed at folks who are into like tabletop games. Honestly, like back when I was a kid and I used to go to Sunday school, on the Super Bowl Sunday, we actually used to play this game. I think it was called Bible Football or something like that. And it's like you had to answer like Bible trivia questions and then decide like your plays for everything. And if you got the question right, then you know your play worked. If you didn't, then obviously it didn't. And honestly, it reminded me a lot of that kind of stuff. So if you're more into board games than actual sports games, I'd suggest checking it out. But if you're like, as I said, if you're a sports bro, this is going to be something. Yeah, I don't think so. It wasn't bad. It's just if you know what you're doing, it's not like if you actually know what you're doing in the sport, then it's not for you.
Yeah. Well, official verdict at $8.
Honestly, I'd recommend it. Like, it's not a bad game. It's just, I don't think it's really my bag, you know?
Yeah. All right. Next up, Mr. Trials, developed and published by Entity 3 Limited, released June 28th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and Windows Store for $1.19. Test your skills in Mr. Trials. Compete in 50 amazing levels over 5 different worlds. Beat the stunt score to receive golden helmets. Have you got what it takes? Jacob, tell us about your time with Mr. Trials.
Oh, boy. All right, so just so everyone is aware, this is a port of a 6-year-old mobile game that is essentially along the lines of a lot of, I don't even know, like, it's like the games with bad controls. Like, they purposely have bad controls, and it's purposely made to be somewhat difficult. So you spend more time on it and trying to figure out what the heck you need to do so you can advance to the next level. It tries to present itself as this like kind of a puzzle game, but the thing is,
play the same game. I don't think controls are an issue. Like, what you're saying, they're purposely bad controls, but they're the controls that you would play in Trials HD.
You have two buttons, gas and forward, and also you can use your controller
to lean.
To whether or not you're going to lean. And it's just...
Have you played Trials?
Yes, I used Trials to play Fusion, that all the...
Trials HD.
Yeah.
I don't see any kind of difference stuff in controls between them, except that they're on face buttons instead of triggers.
I just don't think... Like, I mean, it just feels like it's purposely crap. I honestly do. Like, I think this is along the lines of stuff like Faily Breaks and Human Fall Flat. I mean, do you disagree on that?
Yeah, I don't think it's meant to be. I don't think that was the intention when they made it. I think it's meant to be a low-budget 2D version of Trials HD. I think it's meant to be a frustration. Like, I understand that the game is way too difficult, way too quick, but at its heart, it's still, like, a serious game. It's not trying to be, like, a wacky,
the thing is that the game says, like, oh, you have to test your skill. Nah, man. Like, this thing ends up being luck most of the time. Like, this ain't skill. Trials is skill. This is luck. Like, and you're going through a number of levels, and there's all sorts of obstacles that you have to get through. And the thing is that due to how shittily your bike handles throughout, and of course it doesn't matter because it's not like you can upgrade your bike or choose anything different. Everything is just skins that you can slap on, whether you want a Union Jack flag or you want an American flag, whatever. But this thing, it's purposely made it's not even fun. It's frustrating. And like just trying to get through all the different levels. And thankfully, like the devs were working like to fix some of the initial launch issues, but nothing was done for the gameplay on this thing. And there are levels where, as I said, it's not skill, it's luck that you made it. Like, no, especially with the skulls and stuff like that that show up on like the desert paths, pretty much like levels like 10 through like 15 specifically. Like, you just, like, you end up getting your bike stuck more than anything. And there's no, like, with how it's set up, with you get 3 tries on any level before you have to restart. There's not enough save points. There's, like, everything is too close together, and so you can't actually build up any real momentum with anything. It's just, it's not fun.
See, I think the game is savable, though, because you brought up 2 things I think they could work on and drastically change the game for the better. And those 2 things are add more checkpoints and get rid of the live system. Trials doesn't have lives. Like, you just go until you beat the stage. If you fuck up 400 times, you made it through, but you have, like, a 4-hour time and 100 mistakes.
Yeah, but Trials
on your
also
name.
Trials also didn't have like 50 logs all in a row that you could easily just get your bike stuck in and then no form of getting out of, unlike this game. And so it's either you either clear it or your guy like cracks his head on the pavement every single time. It's just, there's never like, not once in this game did I ever feel like, yeah, I did it. It was just like, thank fuck, on to the next level with this game. Like,
I think it has potential. I think for what it is and how much it is, I think it's, well, let's go into discussion. It's $1.19. What's your verdict?
No. Even if they fix it, I don't care. I'm done. Like, I'm legitimately done with this game. Like,
I think you're being harsh on a game that's $1.
Okay.
Like you're using vitriol that should be saved for the worst game on the planet. And I don't think this is the worst game on the planet.
This was honestly one of the least fun experiences I've had reviewing games on this podcast. In how long have I been on this thing?
Okay,
9 years?
I'm providing a different perspective where I disagree, and
you're allowed to, like, I'm not gonna disagree.
No,
on that
you're yelling at me.
Stop acting,
you're
like
a poo head.
But like, it's just like, this is a game that I had to sit through so much of this, and I'm just done. Like, I just, no,
I think this is a game that I would pay $5 for and not be mad at. So the fact that it's $1.19, I give it a fuck it. Why not? It is so cheap that if it clicks with you, you'll have fun with it. If it doesn't click with you, it was $1.
That is a dollar.
Have bought worse games for $1.
Like what?
Let me look at your history.
All right, here we go.
I can't see it.
Ha. But yeah, like, it's just, this is like straight up no for me.
All right. Well, people hanging out in chat.
Are you actually going to like dig up my game history and be like,
I should.
All right. No, honestly, I'd love that. Like, because I would just be like, because I would love to see what other super crappy games that I've played for this podcast that, like, and then I could debate it on. Like, honestly, the only other thing I can think of is way back in the day, I had to review a trivia game on Steam, and half the questions.
I'm talking about things you've bought. I'm saying you've bought her stuff.
I don't know about that either. I honestly don't.
I think you have. Well, if you're hanging out in our chat, the awesome people at Entity 3 hooked us up with a few extra copies to give away. So if you're worried about taking the gamble on what I think is an affordable, fun little jaunt that you could waste 10 minutes on before you get pissed off, enter the contest.
Try more like three.
We're giving a few away. So, devs, if you're listening, I would love to see the game continue to get worked on. Add some more checkpoints, drop the live system, let us relook at it, and I think it's a winner. Maybe redesign a few stages to be less bullshit, but I think if you have more checkpoints and lives, it's...
Yeah, but here's the thing, like, as I said, this is a port of a 6-year-old game. Like, these levels are set as is. Like, they've been that way for years. I had to look up YouTube videos on some of them, like, just to make sure that I wasn't doing anything wrong. And, like, on one level, like, it took the guy literally 12 tries to get past it. And I was doing all the exact same shit as him. So, yeah.
Oh, well. We got to move on, because we got one final game to talk about tonight. And,
SML After Dark.
That's right. We're going to After Dark territory. We are talking about Summer with Mia, developed and published by Incitin Games, released March 2021 on Steam for $9.99. A story of two not so common sex friends filled with lust, trickery, laughter, and maybe even love. Love in a porn game. Aki, what the fuck is that about?
Well, in this one, nothing. Okay, so in this, you are playing as a young dude, like almost always, and you decide you're gonna go after your sister Mia, or who's supposed to be your sister. You, again, like most of their games, you can determine how they're related to you, but clearly it's supposed to be your sister. This is literally just your summer vacation with her. You just spend the days hanging out with her, her friend, and your folks and stuff. So there's not some crazy story for this one. It's not like, oh, time is repeating or anything. No, this is just a summer. It's just a have fun summer. And, it really comes down to what is in the context, what's the context of the game and the sex therein. This one is, I'm going to tell you all right now, it's going to be very hard to recommend this to anybody because of some of the fetishes it has in it. The main one being what's classified as NTR, which is based on the word netarare from Japanese porn tags. And it's basically cheating / cuckolding, stuff like that. Where basically the girl you're going after, yeah, you get to have her, but so do a lot of other people. So if that's not your thing, and I know statistically that is not most people's things, probably not a game for you.
I'm sorry, but I only share my M&Ms, not my lovers.
Wait, you share M&Ms? You're sometimes willing to share M&Ms with
me? He's a lying bitch. He doesn't ever fucking share M&Ms with me.
I was about to say, if someone tried to take my M&Ms,
I have a share size of M&Ms.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that you actually shared them.
Because you're not here.
I mean, to be fair, I buy party packs of M&Ms and I don't share them.
I have M&Ms in a flash drive and you won't visit me.
That's because you shove M&Ms into flash drives.
Oh my.
No wonder why you have all that broken tech.
And?
But, yeah, so you have, so there's Netarare, which I personally don't like that at all. I would have expected that to be listed in the tags of the game, but there aren't really any tags telling you what's in the game. There's also Corruption, which is a lot more common, but not still not super common. Basically, Mia slowly turns into the town bike. So there's that. She starts off as this nice, wholesome girl, and this is just her road of debauchery, basically. And there lies another problem with the game for me. You're not playing Mia. You're playing her brother. This game is about Mia. It's not about you and Mia. It is about Mia. So
why are you playing someone else?
I don't know. I legitimately don't know. Because, like, I'm about, I think, about 2/3 into the game right now. And I have, like, 11 or 12 hours in it, I think. And I don't think my character's been in even half the scenes. So much of this is focused on Mia and the things she's doing. I'm like, we should just be playing as Mia. Because they have another corruption-based going down the road of debauchery game that's inside Jennifer. You play as Jennifer. You're making her choices and pulling her down this road of debauchery. This game, you're playing as someone else, and I don't understand why you're not just playing as Mia. Because that would make significantly more sense since everything is focused on her. But yeah, I don't tend to like the corruption path of town bike. Personally, that's also another one I don't like. Like, there's some games where it's like, okay, you're town corrupting bike. This person. Yeah, there's some games where you're corrupting a girl and it's like, yes, you're corrupting them to be your personal, you know, sex toy or whatever. You're developing them into what you like. And then there's the corruption where they start off as a nice, wholesome girl, and then they turn into the town bike, and then some. And that is the route this game is going. I don't particularly care for that route, personally. So, it's very hard to recommend these things, because both of those are a lot more niche for this stuff, and porn games are already pretty fucking niche. So, this is like 1/100th of something that's already like 1/1000th. It's like, it's so hard to be like, yes, go play this game because of that. It has decent writing, I guess.
Well, it clocks in at $10. What are your thoughts on it?
This one I'm gonna have to pass on, unless you're really into being cheated on and feeling like you've been used, because a lot of this, like, this doesn't have romance in it either. I don't know why I brought up love. Every interaction with any of the other characters you're sleeping with, including your sister, just feels like everyone's using each other, which just made me feel icky. I do not suggest this one at all to anybody unless you're really into being cheated on.
All right. Well, that's it for this episode. We made it through.
Yay.
Music this episode. For some reason, like, I've had that Double or Nothing song from AEW stuck in my head. It's the one on the soundboard. It goes,
oh yes, one, right? I like that one.
For fun, to mess with my wrestling group, I made a slowed down version.
Oh, I hate that.
I love it, and I think it sounds amazing, and I'm gonna play the whole song like that.
The original kind of sounds like the Guile theme, to be honest. And that's why I like the original. Because, like, every time you play that, I'm like, oh, it's the Guile theme.
It's for a pay-per-view called Double or Nothing. So it's, like, card-themed, like, Vegas-themed. So it's upbeat and, you know, happy. But then this is the drunk version.
Yeah, because you got to be drunk to like it.
When you listen to the whole thing, it's like got a really solid beat to it. I like it. Turned out really good. And well, all I did was slow it down.
You play it on the actual Twitch stream, I will listen to it.
I will.
This once.
I will. And I'm going to play it now. Does anyone have any final words?
No.
Nah.
Nothing?
No.
Nah.
Nothing
there's
at all.
Too many... There's still I've already too many said fireworks. I can't.
Damn, man. Take the dick out of your
Edge, do you have any final words?
Go fuck yourself.
The real original.